Hi listeners, and welcome to the David Crib podcast. My name is Britt, and today I'm joined by a returning guest, Heidi Frui, who has actually just completed a residency at the David Crib workshop. So this residency took place over the months of April and May 2022. And yeah, we're very excited to learn a little bit more about what that experience was for her and what we can look forward to. So welcome, Heidi, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Britt, and thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about my experience and your future ideas, etc.
So I think maybe a good place to start now would be to find out a bit about what your overall experience was with this residency, because you obviously weren't in your usual environment making your work. So I just wanted to find out what that was like working in a workshop and how it was being in residency.
I think overall it was such a positive experience, and I sort of approached it like a learning opportunity more than an opportunity to create finished pieces. And I did really learn a lot. And I think it always helps to sort of change your environment, even temporarily, just to sort of get out of a rut and just refresh and see things in a little bit of a different perspective. And obviously I always love coming to the workshop because everyone is so helpful and positive, and everyone just gets super excited about mark making with me. And I also worked on some etching plates in between the larger drawings that I've made. And I had the privilege to learn new etching processes, like the soft ground etching, which is something we haven't done before. And I love the potential of that. And I just today I went back to work on some plates. It was a really good experience. And initially I was going to be there for 2 weeks, and then it ended up being a month because I started a lot of things, and it's still not finished. It's still a work in progress. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun, and it was a challenge. It's always a challenge to try new things. And I sort of asked them going in, I was like, should I stick with what I know and sort of guarantee that we will have finished pieces that we can sell, or should I rather take risks and try new things? And they said, you know, take risks. It's more exciting, and it's good to have people around you while you're taking those risks, sort of as a support system and just another eye to sort of look at it with me.
I'm really glad to hear that you enjoyed the experience, and I think you've summed it up really well in the sense that it was challenging for you. It was a different environment, and I think you did take risks in the sense that you worked in a larger format and you weren't painting. Am I right to say that? I think you mentioned you did quite a lot of drawings instead. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that kind of mark making process and that medium?
Yes, so the idea was to create larger pieces, and it's quite the space that I worked in is quite a long, narrow space, so I had the possibility to put the work at the end of the long, narrow space and stand back and also work on multiple pieces at the same time, which is something I don't really do because I have this thing that I need to paint while the paint is wet. And David and Amay was saying, maybe you should find a way to work around that. You know, it's sort of a lot of the limitations that I have are self-imposed. And I've been making a lot of drawings lately, small sketchbook drawings. And I saw this as a good opportunity to blow them up onto a larger scale. And drawing obviously doesn't have that. Drying time isn't a factor. So I could really explore working on larger drawings. And I was a bit overambitious with the size at first. I ordered full boards, which are like 2.7 meters wide. And then the hardware shop actually cut them all by mistake. And then I thought, okay, maybe this is actually better. So it is larger than I'm used to, but not as large as I initially endeavored. The challenge for me with going big is I want to always add... I feel like I need to add more to it to sort of make use of all the space. So I wanted to sort of blow the simple small drawings up onto a larger scale, not adding too much detail, sort of keeping it simple and fresh. That's sort of why I used pastels, because when you draw large with pencils, the lines are quite thin in relation to the scale. So the pastels just allow for a wider line, and it's more different from the pencils than I thought it would be. So I feel I'm still just scratching the surface of the potential of working in pastel, because obviously using a new medium, it always takes a while to get used to. So I kind of feel like I'm just starting to get to know it, which is a good feeling, because it's always good to sort of to find something that can be taken further.
No, absolutely. And I think it's been really nice for us to see your journey with getting to know the materials that you're using, as well as the scale that you've given yourself the challenge of doing. I know at one point I noticed that you were actually using your small sketches that you mentioned as references rather than photographs. How did that influence your technique, if any?
Yeah, that's also a new approach that I'm trying, is to work from drawings as a reference, as opposed to working from photographs. Obviously, I use the photograph as reference for the drawings, but I feel there's this process of translation from a photograph to a drawing, to a painting, or to another drawing. With each step in this translation process comes another layer of abstraction. And I think with working from a photograph, there's always the temptation of adding all the detail, because you can see all the detail. But when I'm working from a drawing, it's already simplified, and then it goes through another sort of transformation onto the larger drawing or the painting. And it gives quite a different result than I think I would have gotten from working directly from the photograph. So that's exciting to me, and I'm kind of excited about life drawing now, and drawing from life, sort of plain air, going into natural spaces and drawing, and then using that as reference for paintings. That's sort of something I'm kind of currently excited about, that this sort of process has inspired.
No, that's awesome.
That answers your question.
It does. So speaking now, just touching on the subject matter, I guess, of what you're referencing in these drawings. So you obviously go to these outdoor spaces and take inspiration from your environment to create these sketches, and have translated them into these drawings. I must say, just from a personal perspective, like seeing a lot of the imagery, the colors are very, I want to say trippy, but like forest nature vibes. I wondered if there was any kind of influence in your color choice for this body of work as well.
I think I showed you my rainbow pencil when you were in the studio. So the rainbow pencil, I don't know if you've probably know it from your childhood. It's a pencil that has different colors in the lead itself. So I actually bought it initially as a present for someone. I didn't ever think of using it. And then I started playing with it, making like wrapping paper for Christmas gifts. And then actually I thought, wow, this thing has potential. I kind of like the effect. So I've been making these rainbow pencil drawings. And what the rainbow pencil has taught me is sort of that color doesn't have to be accurate necessarily. I like the randomness, and I didn't really think about, okay, I'm using the red edge or the yellow edge or the blue edge. I was just drawing with a sort of as I would with a monochrome pencil, and the colors just end up where they want to be. And it just sort of showed me that color is not irrelevant, but it doesn't have to be accurate. So then I started making these colored pencil drawings, sort of forgetting about color, thinking more in terms of value than hue, if that makes sense. So I'd use a dark blue for the dark areas and a yellow for the light areas, sort of arbitrary colors. And that's also something I want to explore in the pastels, is sort of, because the sort of frustration with pastels is the limited palette, and each line is sort of one color, and which I sort of miss from painting, where the colors are intermingling and flowing into each other. So I want to try and make multicolored pastels myself with sort of chunks of color within another color. That's sort of an idea that I have, to sort of just add more complexity to the colors and the lines in the pastel drawings. Yeah, I think it needs to stay fun. And I think if something is like a magic pencil or a magic crayon, it just keeps me interested. I need to feel like a little child who's excited about using this new, these new magic. It just makes me excited to create. And you asked something about subject matter.
Yeah, I just wanted to know a little bit more about the imagery that you're using. So you're going, the environments that you're going into, is it still related to your previous body of work, Grass You Can Swimming, where you were looking at grasslands, the heartfelt of South Africa, different naturescapes, or is there like a change in the subject matter in some way?
I've only recently started exploring my own form. I never used to do self-portraits, something I avoided, and I've recently started using my own likeness in my work, which is exciting because I think I can manipulate my body whichever way I want to. I have, you know, full control. I actually did a whole photo shoot photographing myself in a kloof. Yeah, and it's sort of much more lush. I think my ultimate space of inspiration are kloofs, gorges. I just spent some time in a kloof this weekend, and I just, it's such a magical place because it's like almost like a crack in reality. Especially in the Magalies, the kloofs are so different from the surrounding environment, and it's just everything grows different and the light is different. It's super contrasted and it's such a rich sensory experience, and it's just my favorite place on the planet. So I wanna take my viewers there with me. That's sort of the goal. That's sort of the feeling. And I think someone said, I think the first thing Spiwe said when she saw the drawings was, it looks like the Garden of Eden. And I kind of, that's a nice compliment because I am trying to create a bit of a paradise. I don't really know why. But I want to spend some time in the Magaliesberg and sketch. That's sort of what I want to do. And it's hard to sit down and sketch when I'm there because I want to see everything. I want to run around and I want to explore, but I want to try and, I think that's where my next residency should be, is somewhere close to a kloof where I can take my sketchbook and sketch from life. Because I realized that these trees, the trees that grow in them, I always take pictures of them, but on the pictures they get kind of lost because the backgrounds are so full and complex and the contrast is so high. It almost gets lost in photographs. You kind of have to be there and see it in three dimensions, because then the eye will always be better than a camera.
I must say, I think you have captured a certain quality of nature, so that when people see your work, they almost do see it through your eyes. There's a very distinct Heidi Frui mark that you tend to have with your paintings, but even with these drawings, that does add another element to how one experiences the environment based on your perspective. As you say, like this almost abstraction that happens from real life to drawing, to you drawing it, to us seeing it. So I think there is something that happens in all of those steps that makes the viewer kind of experience it in a way that you do. But yeah, I also wanted to know, because you have been working on these new etchings with Kim Lee Lochenberg at the workshop as well, how has that experience been for you? And is it quite different from the previous etchings that you've done at the David Cook workshop?
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that you feel like you're being transported to this place with me. It's a huge compliment. And I think my mark making is, I think it's like a handwriting. Everyone has their own unique handwriting. And I try and sort of keep my wrist loose when I draw so that it comes through more. And I'm drawn to organic lines and forms with very little straight lines, and that's also these environments that I like to use as reference material. I have very little straight lines, and I kind of just use a lot of hand gesture to sort of create those curvy lines and and movement, and keep a movement there. And then in terms of the etchings, soft ground is kind of unique in the sense, and I don't know, I can't assume everyone knows what soft ground is, but the best way to explain it for me is probably, it's almost like carbon paper. There's like a very thin layer of soft ground on the plate, which can be removed very easily. So you put a layer of, Kim would very carefully tape a piece of tissue paper on top of it, and then I can draw on top on the tissue paper, and it just removes a layer of this soft ground, and exposes lines on the copper, which can then be bitten in the ferric chloride. So it creates a softer line as opposed to hard ground, where you just scrape off hard ground. It's almost like a pencil line, which is exciting to me because it's not, I would say hard ground looks more like a pen drawing and soft ground looks more like a pencil drawing, which I like, because I can create different line weights, and yeah, it has a softness to it, which I like, which I also like about dry points. It has that sort of burr, which gives it sort of a soft edge, like a halo, which I really like. But I'm also going to open up to the idea of hard ground, and I think try and use a combination of the sharp lines of hard ground combined with some softer forms of mark making, like soft ground or dry point or spit bite, which is painting onto the plate directly with the ferric chloride. And I always love making etchings with Kimberly, because when the print gets pulled, everyone is excited. There's this excitement that's infectious almost, and it gets me all excited, and everyone is really invested in getting the potential out of this image. It's like a team effort to sort of take an image as a starting point, and how can we create the most successful image from this, and they can bring their technical knowledge and I bring my ideas, and it all comes together, and we can create an etching, and we can create an edition, which is exciting because it can reach more people. Yeah. And makes it a bit more accessible than a drawing that's, or a monotype that's just a one sort of unique work.
No, absolutely. And I think you've really summed up the notion of a collaboration quite beautifully, in the sense of it, the team effort that takes place between the printmakers and you as the artist, to really pull out the potential of this edition. And I think we're very excited to see the final image, and we can't wait to share it with our audience as well. When you mentioned the special tools or different tools that you used while creating this soft ground, I did notice while you were in the workshop, you were using this almost like a wooden armrest. I don't know if you can maybe elaborate on that tool and how that helped with your process.
Yeah, so soft ground is very fragile. It's very, as you would imagine, carbon paper. If you just press on it with your thumb or with your hand, it's going to leave a mark. So you really can't touch the tissue paper on top of it, because it will leave a mark. So this armrest sort of just avoids me from touching the surface and accidentally removing some of the soft ground, which is sort of part of the beauty of it, because it's so fragile. It's such a thin, fragile thing, but that's what gives it the sensitivity. Yeah, and you can use all sorts of different tools. The harder the tool is, the sort of sharper the line will be, and it'll remove more of this soft ground. And it's also kind of unpredictable, because if you use like just a plastic tool, you're not really gonna see where you've made lines. I used a colored pencil, and obviously then you can see where you've made the lines, but some tools are like invisible ink, which is sort of part of what makes it so exciting, is because you only really know what it's going to look like when you've printed the first proof. It's scary, because I don't know if I've drawn anything here. You can sort of see where you've drawn, but not really, so it's a surprise.
Was it kind of challenging keeping your arm on that rest? Did it impose on the way that you drew or the marks that you made in any way? And was it different in the sense of your drawing on the large surfaces, where those were upright, like on an easel, whereas that was on a flat surface and you were leaning on this armrest? I don't know if that altered the marks that you're making in any way.
I think it did. It's hard to tell whether it was because of the armrest or whether it's because I always approach an etching a little bit more carefully than I would approach a drawing in my sketchbook, because it feels a bit more precious. But yeah, I think it did sort of, it does constrict you a little bit, but not actually as much as I thought it would. There's a slightly different, but not too much.
And then I also wondered if there's like any takeaways or lessons that you've learned throughout this residency experience as well.
I think I have learned, I made a few mistakes with the pastels. I've learned how to not use them. And I actually spent like all week drawing on a huge pastel drawing that I ended up just destroying. But not destroying. I just took a damp sponge and just smeared the pigments all over. And it went through a complete transformation. But that was kind of exciting. And I think I need to get to a place where I sort of give up on the image, but not fully. So I decided that I'm just going to see what happens if I just take water and smear these pigments all over the surface. Because the thing about pastels, it's basically the most condensed form of pigments that you would find. It's just pigments with a little bit of binder keeping it all together, but it's a dry medium. And I kind of, that's what I like about the pastels, and working with pastels in combination with wet media, is that play between wet and dry and the sort of possibilities that bring. I can sort of smear the dry pigments over the surface with a dry tool or with a wet tool, if that makes sense, and it gives quite different results. And I like the idea of painting with drawing materials.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to find ways to manipulate the pigments on the surface in different ways, because it's all about manipulating pigments on a surface. And I feel like this brings just another dimension to it. And I'm excited to take what I've learned and apply it.
No, that's awesome. And I really think, you know, it's exciting for all of us to watch you continue to develop your artistic practice and take these risks. And I think you really embraced this residency opportunity to the fullest, in the sense that you did take risks and try something different and get out of your comfort zone. You really have left with some quality work, some quality input, some quality lessons. And we're excited to see what the outcome and the results are, and also share that with our audience. So thank you, Heidi, for doing the residency and for being so open about your risk-taking in your artistic practice. I think it's going to be very exciting to see what comes next.
Thanks, Britt. And yeah, I think that's what I really appreciate about David Crit Projects, is that it's not about getting results fast. I think everyone is invested in the long-term potential of me as an artist and techniques. There's a long-term investment, which is more important than quick results. I really enjoy that sort of approach, and it's very encouraging to know that everyone is sort of invested in me, and there's an understanding that things take time and it's a process. I think that's very valuable. It's always to be continued.
Exactly. So to be continued.